Chapter 7 Boredom. Jen watched Torbrand Cairn's face and knew the expression. Boredom. The Shadan's eyes, normally lively with anger or some private glee, gradually dimmed into vapidity while he watched his captive bards strum, beat, and sing until their voices cracked. 2 weeks had passed since his incursion into Tell, and every day Jen grew more nervous. They had long since come to the end of even Raphael's extensive repertoire, and those people the Shadan thought spent or useless were shoved by rough hands into a line at dawn and marched into the woods never to return. The weather had turned bitter and cold since the Shadan's arrival, a light snow falling 3 days later, and a heavy storm rolling in 2 days after that. Unfortunately, the weather increasingly confined the unpredictable Shadan to the indoors. Jen and Raphael found themselves hard-pressed to satisfy the Torbrand's thirst for entertainment. Some days he would watch them intently, clapping and even singing along, but overnight or even unexpectedly during the day, his feverish, magnanimous self would transform into an agitated, sullen taskmaster. When the Shadan was in his distemper, everyone suffered for it, and Raphael pointed out to Jen that even Cairn's own soldiers knew when to avoid him. On the Shadan's bad days, visits and reports from his men dwindled by nearly half, and the off-handed slaps and punches he used to express his displeasure doubled. Regina, veiled and desperate to please, fretted and worried over every small task Torbrand set her to, for if a meal was not timely, a potato not cooked to its proper tenderness, or a piece of meat overdone, she could do nothing but watch guiltily as the Shadan found some new way to hurt Jen. Whether a quick stab with a knife or a swift fist to the nose, Torbrand would always heal his victim and demand thanks for it afterward. In his happier moods, the Shadan could be tolerable, if not outright forgiving. But those days had faded, and for the three captives forced to endure his presence even more than his own soldiers, a sense of dread dominated every other feeling. In this desperation, they whispered half-formulated plots to escape with each other whenever the Shadan went outside on some matter of business. If nothing else, they figured that starving in the cold, choosing their own fate, was better than finding death at the whim of Shadan Cairn. Regina's distress brought out a protective feeling in Jen, and he did whatever he could to shield her from the worry and violence around her, offering what scant humour could be found in their dreadful circumstances. She clung to him, and they both relied on Raphael for counsel, though as for that, even the practiced performer could not fool his young charges with pretences of hope.
"Just keep your dignity. Be strong," was all he could offer most days.
Today, the 26th of Orba, had started poorly. The Shadan, having risen early to fuss them all around after they awoke at dawn to perform the chores and duties set to them. Raphael was to play while Jen helped Regina in the kitchen. Captain Omar entered later, leering at Regina before giving his morning report. 8 more youths were now useless and had been removed from the town. Even the massive warrior knew when to keep it short and left quickly.
"I can tell by the smell that you burned the biscuits again,"
the Shadan fumed, plopping down into his seat with enough force to nearly break the chair. Regina yelped, and she and Jen, who had been setting the table, ran into the kitchen. Regina pulled the biscuits from the oven hurriedly. While not technically burnt, they were a browner shade than the Shadan preferred. Jen swallowed hard.
"I'm so sorry, Jen," Regina wailed quietly, tears filling her eyes. I think the fire must have been too warm.
Well, let's see them,"
Torbrand yelled. The rest of the meal was set, and Regina tentatively brought the biscuits in and laid them before the Shadan. He nodded his head slowly, as if to confirm to himself his own olfactory prowess. For perverse reasons of his own, the Shadan always had them eat at his table. And as Jen, Raphael, and Regina sat, the Shadan stood, mouth turned down in a frown. Raphael eyed him nervously as he walked around the table. Jen kept his eyes riveted on his plate. The Shadan's heavy boots stopped behind the young bard, and Jen closed his eyes, keeping an ear out for the sound of steel against the scabbard. Instead of swinging his sword, the Shadan stooped, grabbed the underside of Jen's chair, and heaved. Jen crashed into the table face first, biscuits, jam, and tableware exploding in all directions, silverware and plates cracking and clanging on the floor.
Regina screamed, and Raphael nearly fell out of his chair. Jen struggled to his hands and knees, just as the Shadan brought the chair down on his back. Jen grunted in pain, slamming back into the table. The Shadan took what was left of the chair and threw it at the fireplace.
"I hate this place!"
he yelled, stomping toward the door.
"I want biscuits done to perfection in an hour, or Jen dies."
He slammed the door shut behind him. Raphael and Regina sprang to Jen's side. Raphael stooped low, putting his face even with Jen's.
"Are you all right, lad?" "I'll manage," Jen groaned. "Help me off the table."
Raphael and Regina pulled him slowly to the edge, sending more food and crockery to the ground. They let him take his time standing up, and when he did, they braced him from both sides until he could get his balance again.
"I'll get him cleaned up," Regina said, voice subdued and sad.
"No," Raphael objected. "I'll see to him. You bake those biscuits, Regina, and you poke your nose in that oven every minute."
Regina nodded and half ran to the kitchen.
"It's not your fault, Regina,"
Jen called out to her, wincing. The clatter of pots was all the answer he received. Raphael started gathering items from the floor, back cracking as he bent over.
"You just take it easy a moment, Jen. I got hit with a stool in Tenswater when I was strong enough to take a blow like that. I remember everything before, but not a lot for several days after."
"I'll be fine,"
Jen mumbled unconvincingly, wiping honey that was sticking his arms to the tablecloth.
"We've got to get out of here, Raphael. He's going to see us dead before long, I know it."
"You've the right of it there. But we've got to contrive some reason to get outside so we can survey where he places his men at night. I've no doubt you know 100 places to hide in the woods around here, but it will do us no good unless we can get there undetected."
Jen started writing items on the table, sharp pains blazing down his back at the slightest twist or turn. Their plan was simply to wait for a night that heavy snow was falling and steal into the woods. The snow would cover their tracks and muffle the sounds of their movement, but they knew that the Shadan patrolled the woods heavily and placed a guard at the front of the house. Fortunately, he had quartered his 3 captives in the back, but until they had an idea of where the patrols ran, they feared to attempt the journey. They had, at the least, counted themselves clever for sneaking tiny pieces of meat from the table and wiping the grease on the shutter hinges to silence them. When the Shadan returned, his pants wet up to the knee, his humour had not improved, and Regina's golden brown offering and a newly cleaned and set table did nothing more than prevent another beating. The Shadan ate in silence, eyes smouldering and focusing on nothing in particular.
"Play!"
he commanded once the meal had ended. Raphael and Jen speedily retrieved their instruments from their rooms. When they returned, the Shadan had his feet on the table and his arms crossed, face slack and unreadable. Jen's back ached horribly, but he hadn't the courage to ask the Shadan to heal it. They played for 2 hours before Captain Omar interrupted them.
"I have come with the report you asked for, Shadan. The scouts have returned."
"What word?"
the Shadan asked dully, staring at the fire.
"We have confirmed that both the Baron Forthrickshire and Duke Norshwell have received your letters, but there is no evidence of any preparation for war. The people certainly have no idea of it."
Torbran's fist slammed down on the table.
"But what of the head? I sent the magistrate's head in a sack to the Duke. How could he ignore that?"
"From what our spies could gather, the head was unrecognizable by the time it arrived, and he simply had the 2 youths thrown in the dungeon."
"And the Baron?"
"He didn't believe the storekeeper. They took matters to some local pure men, but fared no better there."
Both fists slammed down on the table this time. Jen, Regina, and Raphael despaired anew. They had harboured some hope of rescue, and it now seemed impossible.
"Thick-headed dolts! Take 20 men and go to Sipton. Kill as many people there as you can safely get away with. Leave some tabards and armour behind as tokens. Perhaps then the Baron will take the claim seriously."
"I will do it, Shadan."
"Begone with you!"
The Shadan crossed to the door.
"Gah, stupid rural nobility. I'll return after lunch. Eat what you like. If you're lucky, I may actually have to go knock on the Baron's door myself to announce my presence."
The Shadan absented himself for nearly 4 hours. They talked of their plan and peeked out of windows, trying to get an idea of how the Shadan had placed his men.
They managed to see a column of soldiers, bundled against the weather, ride out of town in the deep snow before the door guard roughly pulled the shutters closed. By the time Torbrand returned, his fuming anger had again settled into dissatisfied irritability, and after dinner he sat, face blank, head propped on his elbow. Regina leaned against the doorframe of the kitchen, watching silently. The fire provided the only light, and in that light, Jen could sense that the Shadan's uses for them were nearly exhausted. While otherwise expressionless, Jen read in his silence a brewing contempt. Anger at the Shadan welled up within him, and he fought to keep his own manner civil. Just as Raphael opened his mouth to announce his next story, the Shadan interrupted him.
"Why is it that no one ever really wins in your stories?"
"What do you mean, my lord?"
Raphael asked nervously.
"What do I mean? Well, let's see. Two people fall in love, and then one of them tragically dies. Two people dislike each other until one of them dies. Then the other one realized he loves the dead one, but alas, she is dead. A king wins a mighty battle, but he is mortally wounded, and dies. A man has a great fortune, but must give it up to wed the woman he loves. Can no one in your stories kill all his enemies, have the woman he wants, and keep the gold all at the same time? In fact, you come up with a story like that by tomorrow, or Regina will be very sorry.
You leave her alone."
Jen wished he could take the words back as soon as he said them. There was much more he wanted to yell at his captor, but the thin, malicious smile turning up at the edges of the Shadan's mouth at his outburst silenced him. Torbrand stood, and Jen knew something awful was about to happen.
"Leave her alone?" Torbrand mocked. "I assume you mean Regina there."
He started walking toward her, and Jen ran forward, stabbing pain erupting down his back. Torbrand didn't try to stop him as he took up a defensive position in front of the kitchen doorway, pushing Regina behind him.
"Beat me all you want, Torbrand. Leave her alone."
"My, my, how gallant. Raphael, I do believe we have the material for one of your tragic stories here."
Jen's heart pounded, every sense alive. And somehow, despite the Shadan's speed, he saw it coming. The narrowing of the eyes, the slight twitch signalling the backward movement of the arm and the setting of the jaw. The Shadan's fist careened with frightening velocity straight for his nose. And Jen dodged it, ducking to the right and swinging his own fist in return. Torbrand intercepted Jen's right-handed blow with his left hand and pulled Jen away from the door and out into the room. Jen gathered himself, anger pounding through his veins. Dimly, he was aware of Raphael shouting at him to stop. Jen turned, ready to charge, but the Shadan stood stock still, staring at him in such a way that Jen held up, awaiting the outcome of Torbrand's odd shift in mood. After an uncomfortably long silence, the Shadan laughed, posture relaxing, and he strode forward to embrace Jen.
"Excellent!"
he beamed, backing away and regarding him at arm's length like a long-lost son.
"I should have noticed before. You are not built for power, but there is speed there. And as a bard, you would be dexterous. Well, well, perhaps this winter can be put to some profit after all. We're taking a little trip tomorrow, Jen. We'll be gone for a few days. Bring the warmest clothes you have. I'm going to bed."
Torbrand talked with the guard outside the door briefly before retiring, mumbling instructions excitedly to himself. Regina and Raphael came to Jen quickly. Regina took his hand and pressed her shoulder against him.
"I'm not sure what he's up to, boy,"
Raphael whispered after several minutes of quiet speculation.
"But you watch yourself. He intends you no good, I am sure."
Jen nodded his head in agreement.
"There is one good thing. You'll have several days without the Shadan. You should be able to get about town and get some information."
"Leave it to us," Regina said. "You just worry about yourself. Come back to me."
Squeezing his hand, she lifted her veil and kissed him on the cheek before going to her room. He felt warm inside, and Raphael smiled for the first time in days.
"Off to bed with you, lad. Stay alert. You may learn something on this trip that can help us."
Jen, bewildered and scared, retired and laid awake for many hours. What did the Shadan want with him?
A trip with the madman sounded less appealing every hour he thought about it, and his mind conjured up one horrible scenario after another, until sleep finally took him.